All right, folks. So we're going through our vision and values, just kind of going through our core, like what makes us us. So we spent a lot of time in the gospel. You should know it's important. We went through worship, mission. Excuse me, worship, community. Now we're going to talk about mission, which is, I think, the most difficult one to actually live out. Just by experience, by my own personal experience and through observation, living on mission. When I say mission, is living with the view of sharing the gospel to our friends and our coworkers, our neighbors, what have you. When it gets down to the nitty gritty, it's hard. So I feel like I feel a big push to really hit this, because I want it to be a central aspect of our identity. That we would be a church that is on mission. So we're going to be looking at Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. Acts 16, 6 through 10. And let's go ahead and pray real quick. Father, I ask you that you would speak to us through your word. But I thank you that your word is valuable, that we can cherish it, that we can learn from it. Lord, I pray that you would speak powerfully to us, that your name would be great, that you would enlarge our hearts to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is an interesting story, a little background. So Paul just picked a new missionary partner, Silas, and then they grabbed Timothy up, and they're about to start doing some missionary stuff. And verse 6, it says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So there's a lot of like talk about, is this verse trying to, teach us how to listen to the Holy Spirit? There's a lot of speculation about how exactly did Paul hear from the Holy Spirit, hear from the Spirit of Jesus. But it doesn't really get into the nitty gritty, I believe, because the scripture as a whole kind of gives us some guidance on what it means to hear from the Spirit. I mean, we have this inner witness of the Spirit, but also we have the verification of the church, right? Like if you're in a local church, you're in a community of believers, and people, you know, you say the Lord is telling you something, but the Lord didn't tell anybody else that, you should at least press a pause on that. And ultimately, we have the Bible. And there's also this providence. Sometimes you feel like the Lord might be telling you to do something, or you feel like you're being led to go a certain way, and the door just closes. And the Lord, through all those ways, can close a door, open a door, confirm what he's saying. But the most interesting part about this passage isn't that God stopped them from going to a particular place. It's that they had the assumption to go. For example, when we're thinking about reaching people, I feel like we think, who does God want me to reach? And we pray and we're like, who does God want me? And they had a completely different assumption. Their assumption was, well, God wants me to reach everybody, and this is the closest people to me, so I'm going to go here. And that assumption is so contradictory to the way that we think. Like, I just can't even, like, I don't feel like I'll evangelize enough for God to be like, hey, man, chill. But no, like Paul and Silas and his missionary group had such a burning desire to share the gospel that it was just the assumption that the people closest to us who don't have the gospel, that must be the next place that we need to share the gospel. And so I want to ask ourselves a question. Where did they get that presupposition? Like, because they seem pretty confident. They're it's not like they're like, what do we do now? We're going to share the gospel. And so I want to take a minute and look at that presupposition. Where did Paul's desire to share the gospel with whoever, whenever, who was closest to him, where did that come from? And I'm telling you, I think it's rooted in God's nature and in God's mission. The Bible teaches us that we have a triune God, that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of the members of the Trinity have like a sending component to them. So the Father sent the Son. You know, the verse that we're very familiar with, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. You know, we've been studying just the overview of the Bible. And one of the things that really stood out to me was when we were studying the time of Noah and God looked down over the dysfunction and the destruction that humanity was causing, and he was grieved. Now, the Bible tells me that God is the same all the time. He is the eternal God. His emotion and his concern is consistent. So for thousands of years, God has been looking at humanity and the sin that has been just producing such destruction and bondage and death, and he is grieved. But the thing about the grief of the Father is it moves him. It doesn't just, he's not just grieved and does nothing. I think it's very easy for us to say that we are burdened for those who are lost. But the burden that comes from the heart of the Father is a burden that causes us to move towards the lost. And not just moves towards the lost, to even sacrifice. You know, he sent his Son, and we have this testimony from the scriptures that the Father loves the Son. You know, when Jesus gets baptized, God looks down and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It's not like he sent an angel or a prophet or someone very distant. It's almost like he sent his very self to go experience the abuse and the persecution and the rejection of the world because he was grieved over it. So in the very nature of the Father, we have a grief that moves to action. And then the Son, Jesus' whole life was one as a sent one. Think about it, like he taught huge crowds to the point of exhaustion. Like he would teach crowds of thousands before they had, you know, microphones. He's teaching all day. And then he goes to rest. And then more people come. And he still teaches. And he did all of these great miracles. And then the Bible says that when it was time for him to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, he set his face to go there. Even though his closest disciples, Peter was like, "I don't think you should go to Jerusalem. You don't need to get crucified." But he had an intense determination and a pursuit after people, after us, that motivated him to exhaust himself in the work of ministry and ultimately to endure suffering and pain and rejection on the cross. And then we have the Spirit. You know, we have the Father who sends the Son. The Son is sent and accomplishes this mission on the cross. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who goes to the darkness of the human heart and gives life. You know, if we go like to Genesis 1, what, you know, it's talking about how the earth was without form and is void. It doesn't sound like a nice place. You know, it's like this place is kind of jacked up. But where is the Spirit? Man, he's right there, hovering, waiting to enter that darkness and to provide life and structure. And in the same way, the Spirit, he takes people who are his enemies. He enters into the darkness of their hearts and gives them new life. And so we see from the nature of God is flowing a mission. God is he's not like a static being. He doesn't just sit and do nothing, but he has these great depths of compassion that move him. That move him towards suffering and darkness to bring about light and life. And so then we have from the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are sending the church out into the world. The Bible talks to us about being imitators of God. Well, this is one of the ways that we get to imitate God. In John 20:21, it says, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, just as the Father sent me, so I have sent you. The Father sent the Son because of his great compassion on those who were lost. And he wants us to have that in full view, to be moved by that. Even when it's painful and it's awkward, and people might reject us, or we do something that might utterly and completely fail, when we look to the one who's the author and completer of our faith, how many people rejected him? How many people said he was crazy? How many people left him? That is the one who will follow. And just as he was sent, the Father and the Son is sending us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, he is the one who wrote so much in the New Testament. Even in Ephesians 1 is where I'm getting most of this information. Ephesians 1 starts with the Father. He has this plan. Then it goes to the Son, him enacting this plan. Then it goes to the Spirit and him making the plan a real experience upon our heart. And so Paul has this understanding of the nature of God. So I believe that is why he's so motivated. He knows that God is not sitting there, that God is not static, that he's not unmoved, but that he is broken over the world. And so he knows the nature of God, and therefore he goes and say, well, I know God is for lost people. And I know God is for lost people at great sacrifice. So I'm going to go. And not only that, we can look at Paul's like experience, right? His experience on the Damascus Road. He has an encounter with Jesus. The Holy Spirit changes his heart. And all of those things that are written about, all the things that I said, they're not distant realities for Paul. They're intimate facts. Thinking about how the Father chose him, who was a murderer, chose him. And the risen Jesus confronts him. And in all actuality, he could have just like smited him. He's over here killing folks, killing Jesus' people. But he gives him mercy, and then the Holy Spirit continues to reveal Jesus to Paul. And then finally, consider ourselves. Like, the knowledge of the gospel is not a static thing for us. It's not something that should leave us unmoved. The Father predestined you and me. The Father cared for you and me. The Son bore the cross for you and me. And the Spirit came. I wasn't looking for God. He came up in my dark, jacked up heart. And he gave me life. So I think that's why they just, you know, Paul and his missionary team, they had this full understanding of God's plan, his nature, his mission. And so they're like, well, we don't exactly know where we're going to go, but we got to go. It's not abundantly clear, but we know what is clear. What is clear is God's nature, which is eternal, and his mission, which he is including us on. So let's go. And the next thing that happens, so they're trying to figure out where to go. They end up at this, Troas is like a coast town, right? So Asia is not... And the Roman province of Asia is not what Asia is to us. Asia is like at the edge of Turkey. And so in this time period, so they're going to a coastal town and they're like, well, if it's not Asia, well, we're going to be at the coast. And we're like, okay, God, we're here at this coastal town. We can take any ship, ready to go anywhere. Where do you want us to go? You know, and then Paul has this vision of a man of Macedonia standing and urging him. This is a picture of like he's not like, hey, Paul, can you come help us? You know, like, he's like, we need help. We need help. And so a heart that is open to God's mission is a heart that is open to burden. It's a heart that's open to burden. When I see the life of Jesus, I see a man who was burdened. When the crowds were sick, it says that he had compassion on them. Even on individuals. He is just one who just is, he has such a depth of mercy and such an openness to be burdened. And us knowing his burden leaves us open to say, okay, God, what is my burden? How have you burdened me to reach people for the gospel? And all I would say is, like, God literally gave Paul a supernatural vision. And I think God can give us vision too. But Paul was pursuing, right? He wasn't just sitting somewhere. He says, I have to share this gospel. I don't know with who. Holy Spirit, where are you showing me to go? I think in the same way, God is calling us to pay attention, to look at our area. I encourage you, just maybe sometimes just drive down the streets. Just look. I mean, we see stuff. I mean, we went to go. Some of us went to a Mexican restaurant that was really close to here. And as we were eating there, we walked out and there was a man beating his son. Just out in the open. You know, we can drive over here to some of these trailer parks. We can drive to the projects. Let us be open to that burden. Let it affect us. Let's not have a stoic view of what's going on. Let's let our emotions be moved, because Christ's emotions are moved. And then look at our neighbors. Our neighbors are a step closer to us. Man, I know my own neighbors. I know that some of them do not know Jesus. I can tell by the way they treat other neighbors that they don't have a lot of love. They're right there in front of my face. I see them every day. That's the place to be burdened. Look at your coworkers, man. I don't know how. I mean, coworkers, that's a lot of time you spend with. That's a lot of time with those people, and you share their lives are getting shared with you. Their stories, their pains, their brokenness, like all of this, even if they're unaware of their brokenness, even if they're boasting in their sin, you can still perceive it for what is true. It's brokenness. And we can look there and see it. And we kind of have two options. We can look there and be unconcerned, or we can open our hearts up to the burden of Jesus. I think at the end of the day, Paul is perceiving that there is, in Macedonia, there is some pain. There is pain. God is revealing it to him. Now, we don't have to look very far. We don't have to ask God for a vision to see where there is pain and brokenness. Now, in view of God's mission and his nature, and in view of there is pain right in front of us, I believe the mission is very clear. I don't think we have to guess. And then, you know, the last thing is, you know, the guy in the vision says, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, that could be like super nebulous. You know what I'm saying? Like, help us? What do you mean, help us? How do we help them? And then he goes in verse 10, he says, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. What? Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It was a pretty nebulous, help us. We should go preach the gospel. That seems to be what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? And so when we look at the brokenness in the world, like there are multifaceted levels of brokenness. There's economic brokenness in this area. There's family brokenness. I mean, it's just, it goes on and on. And there's layers upon layers upon layers. But God has given us the solution in the gospel. We see pain, we see the need for help, then we need to conclude that God has called us to preach the gospel. You know, when I think about there's people that are very burdened. I mean, I can see it on their faces. I'm telling you, if you haven't driven around, just drive around. You can see burden. And then we have Jesus, who is the burden lifter. We can see immorality. We can see brokenness in the home. There's a lot of just a lot of blatant sexual immorality going on. And whether they boast or not in that, that is contributing to brokenness in their lives. And then we have Jesus as the one who saves them from their sin. There are people who are abused in this area, physically, emotionally. And Jesus is the one who is the protector. Jesus is the one who is the healer. In the gospel, we see Christ the most clearly. Therefore, the gospel is the answer. Because ultimately, what people need to see is God. And in Jesus is the perfect representation of who God is. We understand all that we need to understand to have an accurate and full explanation of God. And He wants to set people free, and He wants to help them. And that help isn't a nebulous help. That help is in the gospel, in the fact that Christ died for their sins, and He receives them, and He reconciles them. I just want you to imagine a person who is very, very burdened, and then so when I was a missionary in East Asia, there were a lot of burdened people. Now, they were burdened by different things. They were burdened by school. People would commit suicide if they got bad grades. Like, it was intense. They are incredibly burdened. And when I began to tell them about Christ, about that there was one who would accept them, despite the fact that they had failed, I could see, they're like, what? You know what I'm saying? Or consider a person who might be abused, and the only story that they know is one of rejection, one of hate. We can tell them a different story, that Jesus loves them and accepts them and protects them. This message of the gospel in Romans 1, it says the gospel is the power of God to salvation. When we are sharing the gospel, and we have, it's like from the word, the word that we get, dynamite, that's the Greek word. It's like we have this intense power from God that reveals who Jesus is and sets people free and gives them joy that lasts forever. And so, in view of God's nature, in view that it is clear that there is problems here, there needs to be help. And then in view that we know what the help is, it's the gospel, it's clear. You know, when I think about what does that mean for me as a worshiper of God, when I look at God's character, I realize that He is a missionary God. And I cannot follow Him if I do not consider myself a missionary. You know, if I love Him, which that's the greatest commandment, right? If I love Him, I will imitate Him. It goes to 1 John. It says, those who say follow Him, they ought to walk as He walked. We have a tangible example of what that looks like. And then as we're in our community groups, as we're in our friend groups, we're strategizing together about how to reach others. Because again, it's not a question about who we should reach. We're thinking, how do we reach these people? Are we praying for these people? Are we reminding each other about the missionary nature of our God? And then this is a question that really hit me. You know, if I had the mindset of Paul, what would it look like if I were to assume that I should share the gospel with everybody? What kind of life? It's just like, I just assume that if the next person I see, I'm supposed to share the gospel. Because this is the vision that we have. This is the type of mentality that we see, particularly in the book of Acts. They're like, well, you don't know. You should know. I mean, this is conviction for me, because I think I'm a little bit too timid. I wait too long when we have the answer for the help that people need. And so in view of planting a church is hard work. And I want you to know that I'm not doing it just to do it. I'm burdened. I want there to be a local expression of the gospel here, a missionary expression of the gospel that pursues people, because the Lord has opened my eyes to this area. I can't leave. I feel very bound. And I guess I'm asking for that burden to be shared. I'm asking for us to enter into that burden together, that I think the essence of burden is like just saying, what is happening is not okay. If status quo status quo continues, this is just I cannot handle this. When we have a hope for a life that is way different, a life that is just a complete juxtaposition, and it's like it says in Colossians, it's like those who are in Christ are under the domain of darkness, they're under the rule of darkness, and through the gospel, Jesus welcomes them into the kingdom of light. That's the message that we have. So let's pray. Jesus, I ask you that you would burden us with your gospel. That you would burden us with this area, with the people that we know who don't know you or who are far away. And Lord, we pray that you would help our efforts to plant a church, not at all for our sake, for your glory, for the sake of your name here, for the sake of your kingdom being expanded, and people entering into that joy that can never be taken away. In Jesus' name, amen.